Let us all say amen. We want to thank all that have participated thus far in our worship today. We want to say good morning to everyone that has chosen this morning to worship with the Highland Heights Church of Christ. We thank you for being on the call this morning, and we ask and hope that you have your Bibles, pen and pad, to take notes and to listen from the Word of God. We're thankful for those that may not be members of the Lord's Church. We'll thank you for your presence here this morning. You are our VIPs, our very important persons. We want you to know that we're encouraged by your presence with us on this morning. We hope that you come with an open heart to hear from the Word of God and render obedience to those things that are in the Word of God. Our hope and our prayer is that you'll become a Christian this morning by doing those things that we will share in the Bible that will allow you to become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the Lord's body. I want to say good morning and thankful for those that read the scripture on this morning, as was stated to us. I'm Brother Stroud, assistant minister for the Highland Heights Church of Christ. And again, I'm excited and thankful to be sharing with you from the Word of God. We share that we are studying from the Epistle of James, the letter of James. And I said on last week, the letter is a simple yet serious letter of Christian principles, the design of which was to enable the readers to resist the sins that are normal to them. We all have basic nature weaknesses and sinful attitudes among us. Also, what the book of James does is helps us to deal with difficult social problems that had existed during their time and also during our time. It has been referred to as the book of James, or the letter of James, as the gospel of common sense, in that you have those things that James writes, common language, that we'll see those things. And as I said on last week, this letter is the exact letter that you need for the time you're living right now. For those that are living today, it be September 26, 2021, this letter today, as we study this morning, can benefit your life if you allow the Word of God to influence your heart and direct you in your ways. I want to say from last week's message on the trying of your faith, we looked at James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and want to just make 3 points of last week's lesson from the letter of James. James talked about the difficulties of life are the means which test our faith in God. The difficulties of life are the means by which we are tested about our faith in God. Number two, we talked about those trials in life produce maturity in the Christian's character. The trials in life produce maturity in the Christian character. And then thirdly, we looked at the fact that God has spiritual wisdom that we all need to have, and we can find that in the Bible, the source of God's wisdom. So we want to look at on this afternoon, or this morning, excuse me, from the subject that was read in your hearing. Thank Brother Tim for sharing those things. But we want to look at on this morning what James said: blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, I want to say that Christianity can adapt to all the needs of a person and allow them to be faithful to God regardless of the circumstance or the situation the Christian may find themselves in. The Word of God can do that. Christianity can do that. You can adapt and be faithful regardless of what you may be experiencing in life. God has given us His Word, as we'll talk about on this morning. And so on last Sunday, we spoke about external trials or tests, those that are outside of us, and those things that test us to see, as James said, the trying of your faith and what it produced in the Christian, patience. And so what we want to do on this morning, what James does in his letter this morning, he begins looking at a social problem that existed during that time. We have it also during our time. Then he dealt more specifically with those temptations that come from the inside. So again, the letter of James deals with outside pressure and deals with inside pressure that the Christian may go through. And if you're on the call this morning and you have not rendered obedience to the Lord, you have not obeyed the gospel, it is my responsibility at the close of this letter to share with you specifically what God has said to you and to me and how you must obey what Jesus has said in order to become a child of God, and Jesus becoming your elder brother. Let's look at our word lesson on this morning, picking up at verse number 9, where we ended on verse number 8 on last Sunday. James says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. James said, let the brother that is low in their financial position or situation, he says, let them rejoice in that when he is lifted up, or when God brings you up out of that situation, James said, let him rejoice, to cause one to have respect for himself, even as God is lifting him up. And then he said, but the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of grass, he shall pass away. So James here deals with a social issue of those that had money and then those that were wealthy. He said to the low person, when God allows to bless you to lift yourself up, God, James said you ought to rejoice, but he also said now to those that are wealthy, when you are made low or your position is reduced, James said, just like a flower of grass, you shall pass away or die also. So James says to us that the rich and the poor need to be thankful when God intervenes in your life. In Romans chapter number 8, and the verse is number 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans in 8:28, he said, and we know that all things work together for for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So it's a mindset that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. If I'm of a low degree and God lifts me up, if I am one that is rich or wealthy, when you're brought low, the Bible says all things work together for good to them if they love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Let me say this. Riches or wealth are not essential to happiness. And being poor won't keep you out of heaven. The real joy is in being a Christian. And hopefully those that are Christian can realize that in their life now. Whether I have riches, whether I am poor, it's the fact that I am a Christian that brings me real joy. And we'll talk about what is real joy. So Christianity, look in Proverbs chapter 30, because Christianity is to live in moderation. In Proverbs chapter 30, Old Testament, Proverbs chapter number 30, and beginning at verse number 7, I want us to see the words of Agar when he said in Proverbs 30 and 7 about moderation. He made a request to God. He said in verse number 7, two things have I required of thee, or I request of thee. Deny me them not before I die. He said, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither, notice, poverty nor riches. He said, feed me with food convenient for me. What Agar was asking of the Lord, as I would ask the Lord, Lord, you know what I can manage. You know what I can handle. Don't give me poverty nor riches. Give me that which is convenient, which is fitting for me. You know what I can manage. And Lord, I'm asking you, Agar said, to do that for me. Notice what he said, two reasons. He said in verse 9, he said, lest I be full, or you get too rich and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? And sometimes, let me say this to us as Christians, sometimes be careful you don't allow the accumulating of wealth and riches to cause you to say, who is the Lord when it comes to Sunday morning worship, Sunday afternoon worship, Wednesday Bible club? Why? Because I'm chasing the mighty dollar. And that's what Agar was saying, lest I be full and I deny you. Don't let money become your God with a little G. He said, and then he said, and lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Agar said, Lord, keep me out of both of those extremes. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. I want to have that which is convenient for me. And so that would be a desire of the Christian, that we have those things, as Agar said through Solomon, those things that are convenient for me. Lord, don't give me too much. Don't give me too little. Give me that that I can manage, that I can handle, that will allow me to continue to look up and thank you for the blessings. Back in James, James said in verse number 11, talking about the rich, he said, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his way. Jane was saying, just like the sun come up, and that heat will cause that grass to dry up. It will cause the flower to fall, and the beauty of the appearance of it, he said, perishes. He said, so also the rich man fade away, or that word fade means to put out the flame or the light of that person away in his ways or in his going. So rich people, Jane was saying, human life is frail, and the rich will die also. James was saying, they also, the rich man, fade away in his way. So James, in his letter, dealt with a social problem that they had during that time. We still have a social problem, also race issues coming to the effect. But understand this, just like the low man needed God and the rich man, we both need God and need to thank God for our conditions and situations. And then James says, my subject on this morning, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. That's my subject this morning. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, up to this point, James had talked about external temptation, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And those temptations, he said, will try your faith. What James now says, that man that endures temptation, that man, and the word endure means the ability to use the burdens faced as instruments for good and greater glory to God. You use those things that you're going through as instruments for good and greater glory to God. It means to stand without giving in to any outside pressures, those pressures that we can give in to. James says that we endure those things. In Luke chapter 21 and verse number 20, Luke 21 and verse number 19, notice we talked about patience, which is endurance. And Jesus said in Luke 21:19, in your patience, possess your souls. Jesus said, in your endurance, that's how you possess your own souls. So again, that endurance is being able to deal with stuff that comes away. James calls them temptations. Temptations are trials, hardships, and difficulties. Trial in the Word of God in this text simply means when you are tested, when you experience hardships, which are pains and suffering. When we go through physical pain, when we suffer the loss of loved ones, that's those things that James called temptation, and then difficulties. Sometimes things are just hard sometimes. James talks about the one that when you are tried, when you pass the test of faithfulness, James says that's when you are blessed. And blessed in this text is a condition that results from a state of inner peace. Now, there's a difference between blessed. We sometimes use the word happy, but now happiness is dependent on external circumstances. You know, a new home make you happy, a car make you happy, getting a job make you happy. But when you are blessed, as James talked about, it's an inner peace that I have that allows me to endure whatever life hands me or that God sends my way. That's the blessing that we're talking about this morning. And James says, when you pass that test of faithfulness, James said, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. When you pass this test, and when life has ended on earth, what James was saying to them, you got a prize. And that prize is eternal life. Well, Peter said it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn there quickly. And verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 6. Peter said it like this. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season or for a while, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations of various trials you're going through. Then he said that the trial of your faith, so notice, temptations are nothing more than a trial. James said, or Peter said, and the trial is of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's how Peter said it. So I want to say to us, the trials in life allows the Christian to show whether their faith is genuine, whether it's real, or as the young people say sometimes, you're keeping it 100. Your faith got to be 100. And we know all of us sometimes lose or can lose a percentage of that 100. But James says, and that's my title, the man that endures those trials and passed the test, God has to offer to those that love him a crown of life. That's the blessed is the man that endures temptation. And then James now, as we'll look at the inward temptations, James said in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. So then, what is tempted? Tempted in this text is an urge or desire to do something that is bad, wrong, or sinful. And we need to know from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1 where that originates from. Matthew 4 and 1, note what, excuse me, the Bible says. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So that tells us where our temptations come from. And then James said, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So James says, don't say that I am tempted of God, for God cannot tempt nobody with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when I have desires that arise from within me that are uncontrolled feelings that I have. And James says, they draw me away by my own lust, those bad desires which show itself in bodily activity. That's Romans 6 and 12. And James says that I am enticed, and the word enticed here means to lure, be lured by a bait. It's like a fisherman that has a bait. It's to be attracted to something or be enticed by something. James says, then when that lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James says to those readers, when you have that desire that you are drawn away by your own lust, and you are attracted to that which is bad, James says, when that thing conceives, or when that you have that strong desire to sin, when it catches, James said, it'll bring forth sin. And sin, Romans 6 and 6, we don't have time to go there now, but it's a power acting through the members of the body. Though the seed of sin is in the will, and I'll show that in our example this morning to hopefully help all of us this morning. And James said, when it is full grown, it causes death, and death simply means separation or spiritual death. Now, let us look this morning at a biblical case study of how the process of sin happens. How the process of sin happens. Meet me in John chapter 12. Judas is the subject this morning. John chapter 12, in verse number 1, the Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he, Jesus, raised from the dead. The Bible says, They made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, that sounds on the surface to be commendable, but thankful to the Bible, the Lord went into the heart of Simon. Verse number 6 says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag or the money purse and bore what was put therein. So he was saying that because his challenge was, or his evil desire, excuse me, was money. He said what sounded to be commendable, why could we have sold this ointment and got 300 pence and put into the bag? But he said that because he was a thief. He was a person who steals. Understand this. Whatever behavior we exhibit openly, the devil is watching us, and the devil will use that to tempt us. Look in John chapter 13 as we'll see how this process works. The Bible says, now before, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, watch now, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So what the devil did was used that improper desire that Simon, that Judas had to cause him to sell Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. So what's the teaching point here? Improper desires must connect with one's will. Then that thought becomes pregnant in your mind to become sin. Judas had that improper thought about the money. That thought connected with his own will, and then it became pregnant or had the possibility of development in his mind to sin, and the devil did the rest. And I'm saying to each of us, when those thoughts come in your heart, you have to have something to fight with. Jesus did it in Matthew chapter 4 on each occasion. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Jesus used scripture. And notice what James said. Go back to James. So that's how the devil takes those thoughts in our heart. And he influences us. When you don't have the word of God in you, those improper thoughts must again connect with your will. You got to want to do it. Yeah. And as Flip Wilson used to say many years ago, those that are old enough to remember, the devil can make you do it. Yes, he can, if you give in to him. And so going back to James, James says, do not err, verse 16, my beloved brethren. Don't be led away from what is right, what is good. He's saying, don't be deceived. Don't blame God for our conduct. When you leave the principles of Christianity, that's why it's so important, this lesson, the gospel of common sense, Satan can defeat you. He did that to Eve. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and the verse is number 3. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul wrote to them, he said, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. When you have thoughts that's not proper, we all have them, you need the Word of God. That's the source you need. Satan first must draw you away from safety. Living in the Word of God is the safety net for every Christian. How do you know that, Brother Stiles? Because Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16, Paul wrote, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. James, Paul said to them, if you are influenced in your walk with the Lord, your activities is influenced by the Holy Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But what do I do when I do sin, Brother Stocker? We all do. The answer to when the Christian can sin, not in the world sinner, but the Christian that sins, John said it in 1 John chapter 1. Remind us of that in verse number 9. When we sin, John said in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what John said. So if we walk in the light and if we sin, the blood of Jesus, verse number 7, will cleanse us. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's if we sin. And then as I move toward the close this morning, James goes back to just wanting to know, after they tried to say a thought that God would tempt them to do wrong, what James wanted them to know in our final two verses is that God is the source of goodness. Note what he says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What James wanted them to know, that when it comes to gift, all giving from God is good. And he was saying that every gift from God is complete because of the giver. God is the giver. And these gifts come from above, not from the earth. Sometimes we try to get too much pleasure on the earth. But James said these things come from above, and they come down from the Father of lights. And Jesus, God provides light. You know, one of those things that God has given us a gift is the sun, the moon, and the stars. Those are all gifts from God. They come down from God. And James says, with whom there is no variableness, there is no change in God, or no shadow of turning. What we want to do, those that live, we want to thank God through the life we live before him. We thank him for every good gift and every perfect gift that he sends down unto us. And James says, talking to Christians now, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that he should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. So James said, we were begotten, or we were born spiritually from the word of God or the gospel, that we should be first fruits of his creatures, or we should be Christians for God. And so I want to now speak to those that to know that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 concerning everyone. Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse is number 4 concerning God. He says in verse 3, 4, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. But that tells me in order for someone to be saved, they got to come into the knowledge of the truth. You're on the call this morning. I'm going to share with you from Jesus the knowledge of the truth. How does one become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ? This is the gospel plan of salvation according to Jesus. Now, what is the gospel? Turn your Bible first to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to know what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. He says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now watch the three facts. That there are three facts to the gospel. For I've delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That's fact number one. Number two, fact, and that he was buried in a tomb. And number three, that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. You have to believe the gospel. That is the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus gave a plan of salvation that I want to share with you this morning. Then I want to show you how it is done, and the message is yours this morning. The message will be yours this morning. Let us look first in Luke chapter 11, and the verse is number 28. Luke 11, and the verse is number 28. Listen to what Jesus said. But he, talking about Jesus, said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So Jesus first said, you got to hear the word of God. And if you're listening this morning and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you have to hear what I just shared with you, the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You have to hear that. But then in John chapter 6 and verse number 29 is the second of the five acts that one must do. In John 6:29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. So you have to believe on Jesus. That's number two. So you hear the gospel, you believe on Jesus from the word of God. And then number three, Luke 13 and verse number three. Act number three, where Jesus, again, this is Jesus talking, I tell ye nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And repentance means you begin with, you turn from the life you've been living, and you on the call this morning, you turn toward Christ, and you willing to obey and do the thing that Christ said. So that is repentance. Jesus said, I tell you today, except you repent, you're going to perish or be lost. And then number four, so we have hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sins. And then the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10 and the verse is number 32, the fourth act that we find where Jesus said in Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, you confess that I'm Christ before men, I'll make that same confession before my Father in heaven. So you must confess Christ to be the Son of God. And then finally, in Mark chapter 16, and the verse is number 16. Mark 16 and verse number 16 is the culminating act when Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved or receive salvation. So one must hear the gospel, one must believe the gospel, one must repent of their sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be water baptized to be saved. Do we have a biblical case study for us this morning? Yes, we do. In Acts chapter 8, as I move toward a close, Acts chapter 8, and the verse is number 35 concerning the eunuch and Philip. Philip was the preacher, and the eunuch was the pupil or the student. Note what the Bible says in Acts 8 and verse number 35. Then Philip the preacher opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the him is the student or the eunuch who is a pupil or the student. He preached unto him Jesus. The same thing I've done this morning. I preached unto you Jesus, the death, burial, how Christ suffered on the cross for 6 hours, died on the cross for the sin of the world. He died on that cross. They pierced him in his side, John 19:34, and out came blood and water. That water paid for our sins and also purchased his church. But know what the Bible says. And as they went on their way, verse 36, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? So somewhere in the preaching of Jesus, Philip talked to him about being baptized as I'm doing to you this morning. I'm instructing you to teaching you, you need to be water baptized. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, verse 37, thou mayest. And he answered and said, the same thing when we teach those people the gospel, before they obey the gospel, we use this same scripture when the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession one must make prior to being baptized. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then the Bible says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And baptism is for the washing away of all your past sins. And you come in contact by faith with the blood of Jesus in that water. You're baptized with Christ into his death, and the blood of Christ will cleanse you of all your past sins, and then you come up a new creature. You become up a member of the Church of Christ, and that's found in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, where the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So blessed is a man that endure temptation and is obedient and faithful to the word of God. God will give you a crown of life. Thank you very much as I turn you over to our song leader on this morning. Get back with the person that put you on the call so we can baptize you. Thank you very much.